Mark your books. Brother HL.
We've been looking for some time now on Sunday mornings at Paul's teaching in Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks about the seven ones. We're going to study a lesson this morning that is one of those lessons to me that is both terribly exciting and extremely difficult. This lesson is about God. There is one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all, Paul says. It is amazing to me that so many people have such a casual attitude about God. We live in a time where God's name is used in so many ways. We know that men see nothing wrong with taking the name of the Lord in vain, cursing and swearing. But we need to remember that for many generations in the Old Testament, the Jewish people did not speak the name of God. They had no name for God. It wasn't until God himself said, "Call me by this name," that men knew how to address him. I believe today that if you want one single explanation for all the corruption that is in the world, the hatred, the division, the murders, the lies, the stealing, and all that goes on world today. If there is one thing that can be pointed out as the main reason our world is in such chaos today, I would suggest to you it is because man does not respect the authority of the Almighty God. Somebody says, "Well, that's a big statement." When you understand that God created the heavens and the earth and is all that is therein, God is worthy of praise. God is worthy to be worshipped. Now we know that if we look at the Bible in a true understanding of God, that the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth, and all that is therein. In verse 26, the Bible tells us, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." And we understand that what was happening here is that God, the one we know as the Father, spoke to God the Christ, and to God the Holy Spirit. And these three created all that is in the world. John said in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Jesus is God, and he was active in creation. In the very beginning of the Bible, and the Bible says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep." The Holy Spirit was active in creation. But there came a time, and we read about it in Philippians chapter 2, when this great scheme that we know as the plan of salvation When God put in motion his plan to save man from his sins, a plan that the Bible says was in effect before God ever created the heavens and the earth. Jesus had already been offered as a sacrifice in the mind of God before creation ever took place. And so there came a time when the God of heaven made a plan. And the plan was that there would be one who would be in complete control. He would make all decisions. He would have all authority and all power. God is an almighty God. And in order for this plan to take place, great things had to happen. We have often noticed the words of Paul in the book of Philippians in chapter 2. When Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being found in the likeness of the form of God, considered that not a thing to be taken lightly, but he emptied himself. He poured out his divinity. He became subject to authority and no longer the authority." Now in today, that God of heaven, the Father, has given his Son all authority. But we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 27 that there is coming a day when the world shall end, and Jesus shall go back and receive all of his righteous and take them home to heaven. And Paul says at that time, Jesus the Christ, when he has gathered up all the redeemed of all the angels, shall deliver the kingdom back to the one that gave it. For when the Bible says all authority hath been given unto him in heaven and in earth, it is understood that he is exempt, the one that gave that authority. There is none that is equal to the Father. He is above all, he is in all, and he is through all. So let's think about this for a minute. People often say God is omnipresent, he is omnipotent, he is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. He is everything. There is no other. And if you want to understand one reason I make the statement that the great many of the problems that we have in our world today is man's unwillingness to submit to the authority of God. Look at our world today. And how many people today are embracing the idea that there are other gods that are equal to, are even superior to the God that we serve and that we love. Many today have said, well, their God is as great as our God. If that is true, then there is not one God. There are multitudes of gods. And when you read the Bible, it is plain, if you search it, that one of the greatest problems of man is that he has fallen down before false gods and worshiped those things that are not gods. Gods that are made with man's hands. The birds, the fowls of the air, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Men have worshiped things that are not God. And when we worship those things that are not of God and are not God himself, then we do not love him. Now listen to John chapter 4 and 1 John chapter 4. When you look at God, and many people today are fighting against God because they do not like his laws. They do not like his call for surrenderance and obedience to him in all things. But if I were to sum up one thing that all of us today, and what would change the world the most, is if man can understand this and grasp it, God is love. You cannot define love in any way other than God. God is love. There's your definition. So when you understand God, then you must understand that in God there is authority, there is will, there is a plan, there are things to be obeyed, things to be followed. There is no love in chaos. And we live in a world today where people are telling me love is never having to say I'm sorry. God is love. It was mentioned a little earlier. There was a time when God winked at ignorance. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. You cannot say I love God unless you keep his commandments. God so loved the world that he made the supreme sacrifice. He gave his son to die at Calvary's cross, that we might know the forgiveness of sins and have the hope of eternal life. So I ask you this morning, do you understand that if we say we love God, and we don't do his bidding, that we make God a liar and his truth is not in us? For if we say we can live as we choose, that there is no such thing as sin, no one has a right to infringe upon our own free will, then we have denied the power of the God of heaven. What would it do today if men could realize and fully accept that there is a God in heaven who a long, long time ago spoke and the earth appeared? The sun, the moon, and the stars became a reality. God prepared a world and made it fit for man to live on. And then he created man and blessed him with dominion over all of this world, and requested only one thing in return. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now yes, Jesus went on to say, the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But in reality, if you love God, you will love your fellow man. For you will see other human beings as the ones who are made in the image of an almighty God. For it was God who shaped man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, so that man became a living soul. The question today is, what could change this world of hatred and violence and evil? I'm told that many years ago, a great gathering of people came. I'm told there were at least well over 1,000 people in the meeting house that day. There was a balcony, and the man who spoke was an atheist. And he had expounded upon the idea that there is no God. What would you do today if someone should tell you there is no God? Be careful how you answer. Because in reality, the world in which we live today is telling us over and over again there is no God. Man is free to do as he chooses. But I am told that in that great gathering, there were two little pre-teenage girls sitting in the balcony. And suddenly they stood up. And with all the strength of their little voices, they began to sing, "There is a God. He is alive." And before they had finished the first verse, that great meeting house echoed with a whole host of people singing that beautiful hymn, "There is a God, and He is alive." And someday, every man, woman, boy, and girl will stand before the judgment throne of His Son and give an answer for the things that they've done in this body, whether they be good or evil. And that answer will be done because the God of heaven has a will. Today, He calls all men to put their faith not in riches, not in lands and cattle, not in any god that man might make with his own hands, but He calls upon us to put our faith in the God of heaven who made us, who gave His Son to die for us, who has prepared a place for us, and longs for us to dwell with Him in those palaces not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Almighty God, Father, Creator, Lover of our soul, Keeper of all that is holy, might we, with many of the prophets of old, look deep into our souls and cry, "God, forgive us, for we have turned our back upon the Almighty, the only one who giveth life." A call needs to ring throughout our world, calling men back to God, understanding that He alone can give us what we want, life, peace, and joy, and a home in heaven that fadeth not away, eternal in the heavens. Let's stand together and sing.